A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome into another edition of Jazz Notes, powered by KSL Sports. My name is Cleon Wall. I am joined by Jeremiah Jensen today. Well, we wanted to join you this summer. There's no real big news out there right now. We're all kind of waiting for the draft. We've got the NBA Finals that are going on right now. But I wanted to play a game with Jeremiah, and I guess this was inspired by... inspired by this man right here.
He's our guy. We trust
yes,
him.
Yes, that's Ricky Rubio. And Ricky Rubio basically came out this week in a Spanish language interview, said that the Jazz said that he is not a priority anymore. And that really surprises no one. But I thought that that would precipitate a conversation Jeremiah and I would have about what the Jazz really need to complement Donovan Mitchell. Do they need a point guard? Do they need a shooting guard? Do they need a combo guard? What do they really need this offseason? I'm going to have Jeremiah play the part of an attorney here. This is a really bad law and order gong. Yeah, that's not really doing it for me,
that
Jeremiah.
Was lacking.
Yeah. It's not what I was looking for. But anyway.
I hope you didn't pay for the generic gong instead of the real thing.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't. Yeah, the problem was is that I didn't come in ahead of time and actually get the real one, so I apologize about that. So we get
do
to go.
Better.
Yeah, we get the generic, really bad Law and Order gong. He is going to be one attorney. I don't know if he's going to be the prosecuting attorney or maybe the defense attorney. He is going to defend. Let's see if he can do this. He's going to defend why the Jazz need a point guard right now instead of any other guard. Why they need a point guard instead of any other guard. That's what he is here to do. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, here's Jeremiah Jensen.
Okay, so it's time to make my case. I had no idea what I was going to do before this was taped, before we started recording this. So here I go. Just off the top of my head, I'm going to defend why the Jazz need to target a point guard, a starting point guard in free agency.
And not just free agency. You could even say
trade.
Either one. You can say either one right now.
Which I, you know, instantly I'm thinking, okay, you're looking at Mike Conley in this situation. Or maybe it's a Goran Dragic or someone out there like that. So there's a lot of options when it comes to things they can do. The Jazz could sign a free agent point guard. They can go out and try to trade for one. Or they could acquire one in the draft. Or maybe it's somebody on their own roster right now that they want to give a bigger role to. So ultimately, though, I will make a case why the Jazz need to make a move involving a point guard. So Donovan Mitchell is great. Donovan Mitchell's the future of your franchise. But do you want Donovan Mitchell carrying so much of a playmaking load when naturally maybe playmaking is not his forte? I view Donovan Mitchell more as a Dwayne Wade-type NBA basketball player. And when you're comparing somebody to Dwayne Wade, you're talking Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, someone who won multiple NBA titles. So that is very much a compliment. But the Jazz need somebody who can take that workload off of Donovan Mitchell's shoulders so he can focus on doing what he does best. The Jazz need a playmaker. They need somebody who can create off the dribble. They need somebody who can run the pick and roll. And somebody that can do those things efficiently. And somebody who can also shoot at the same time. There's not a lot of guys out there that fit that role, so you're aiming pretty high. And that's why a Mike Conley trade makes so much sense for the Utah Jazz and why they tried to make that move at the trade deadline. And one of the reasons why they might be moving on from Ricky Rubio is because Ricky wasn't efficient enough offensively to give them what they needed. And that was obvious. I think that's just a fact. You had Ricky for 2 years. You had made two playoff appearances, and I think it's clear that they need a little bit more from that position. And in an era of positionless basketball, we talk about point guard, shooting guard, all that kind of stuff. I guess it doesn't really matter. I want a playmaking guard who can be efficient with the ball, hand out more assists, less turnovers, shoot the three, and I think the Jazz need to target a point guard in the draft, and those are the reasons why. In the draft, free agency, or trade, obviously a guy at draft in number 23 is probably not going to help them. So let me eliminate the draft. I'll just say in free agency or via trade, the Jazz need to acquire a veteran point guard who can do those things to take the pressure off of Donovan Mitchell.
All right, Counselor. So in saying that, who is your guy? Who are you defending right now? Who is the guy that the Jazz need to get? Is it Mike Conley? Is it Kemba Walker? Or is it someone else?
So Kemba Walker would be the ideal acquisition. Here's the truth. You have probably a 2% chance of getting him to come to Utah. Here's why. Because he qualified for the Supermax, because he made All-NBA. Nobody can give him more money than the Charlotte Hornets. He seems very comfortable there. He's made comments publicly lately that indicate he's probably going back there. And Charlotte would be crazy to let him go. You have an All-NBA player and you're just going to let him walk. I think they got to pay him. So I don't think Kemba Walker is a realistic target, even though he would be the ultimate target to fill that role. So I'm going to take it one step away from that. I'm going to consider Kemba off the market because I think he's going to sign with the Hornets. And I'm going to say, try to make a deal and get Mike Conley here in Utah. Mike Conley is the guy who checks all the boxes I just mentioned. He's very efficient. He's a good defender. He's a playmaker, and he can also shoot the three. And he takes all that pressure off of Donovan Mitchell, and he adds a guy who's a near all-star to the Jazz roster, and he makes them that much better. So go out and get Mike Conley via trade, and that's easier said than done. Do it, Dennis. Do whatever it takes.
All right, Counselor, I'm going to say to you, no, that is incorrect.
Really?
Let me tell you why the
What's
Jazz,
your argument?
Let me tell you why the Jazz don't need a point guard right now.
What?
I'm going to tell you, and I've had this argument for a long time, so this is nothing new, Jeremiah.
Okay.
And this is why you are wrong, by the way,
all
ladies
right.
and gentlemen. This is all... this is all part of TV.
Let them think we're arguing.
Yes, okay. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, Jeremiah, and here's where you're wrong.
Okay.
Look at how tall Donovan Mitchell is. Yes, I know he has a 6'10" reach, but in reality, he's 6'2". All right?
Okay.
I get that we want him to be like Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne said he was 6'6", and we all know he was probably more like 6'4", but he was able to survive as a shooting guard in this NBA. Yes, 2 inches makes a big difference. I think that Donovan Mitchell needs to be the lead guard right now. I think he needs to be the guy handling the ball all the time. That doesn't mean he doesn't need someone to take the pressure off him, like you said, but I think whoever he needs to take the pressure off him needs to be taller. Yes, I'm going on heightism again. I can't believe I keep going on this rant. But he needs someone next to him who is a bit taller than Mike Conley. Here's the reason why on this podcast, I've already said why I don't like Mike Conley. The reason why I do like Mike Conley is he only has 2 years left on his contract, and I think he will make the Jazz better. But is he that next step to put you up next to the Warriors? No, he is not.
Really?
So that's why I'm against Mike Conley. But why I'm against him, a point guard coming here, I think that right now, you're 2 years into this Donovan Mitchell experience. Why not just switch him over and make him the man handling the ball, 85% of the time, and run the entire offense off of him, and I think that the Jazz will be successful doing that now rather than waiting and seeing if he can do that later. Counselor, you can rebut all my arguments.
So my counter-argument to that is Donovan Mitchell did that quite a bit this year, and there was moments where there's success, and there was a lot of moments where there wasn't. He's still not where he needs to be with his reads. He's still not where he needs to be as an efficient point guard where he turns the ball over quite a bit. So you're relying on and you're putting a lot of pressure on Donovan Mitchell to be something that he's naturally not, which is a point guard. And you're making your offense less efficient by having him run it because he's turning the ball over, because he's not making the plays that an experienced point guard would make. And that's why Mike Conley would be so valuable, is because he wouldn't turn the ball over as much. He's a veteran who's played at a very high level for a very long time and is still playing at a high level. He was just stuck on a bad team the last 2 years. So if you're going to go with Donovan Mitchell handling the ball all the time, you're going to take a big hit as far as efficiency goes and as far as turnovers go. And I guess you're right. Eventually, Donovan Mitchell could get there as a point guard, but right now that's not his natural position, and that's not where he's at right now. So how does that benefit you right now? You're not taking another step to closer to contending for a title when your main ball handler is not efficient enough to help you get better offensively, and it hurts the rest of his game as well. He's not as good a shooter when he's forced to be a ball handler. The numbers show that. So I think you're hurting Donovan Mitchell by putting that much pressure on him, especially right now in his career. I just don't think it's a natural fit, and I think the Jazz would be better if they were able to do that.
My quick rebuttal to that is I think that you should start doing this now, because this is eventually where this is going to lead. Maybe he's not going to be a point guard full-time. Maybe you can get someone else that could help him out just a little bit. But really, this is where it's going to end up. Donovan Mitchell, I hate to say point guard. In reality, Donovan's more of a, I'm using air quotes here, combo guard. And I think that if you're going to make him the man now, have him realize that so that he can grow into this position and be that guy in the end. So those are my arguments on that. Okay, we'll go to shooting guard now. Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
No, unless you had
something
else.
We're going to agree to disagree on that.
Okay.
Agree to disagree.
You're going to rebut this, but I'm going to go with why the Jazz need to try and get a shooting guard coming up here in free agency or make a trade or something like that. I think that the Jazz need to probably get a shooting guard because, again, I'm going to go with height. But I also think, again, you need to find someone who's more of a playmaker, someone that can take that pressure off of Donovan so that he can be able to score. So I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all, but I think you need someone who's a little taller, who can create more, maybe even in the mid-range game, not so much for during the game, but for late in the game, so that Donovan doesn't have that pressure on him to make those baskets all the time, because they're always turning to Donovan. Maybe someone who has a little bit of a mid-range game, who's a little bit taller, who can get a bucket. And I'll just mention the guy who I think, and I, by the way, I think this is a low percent chance that the Jazz are going to do this, but I'm going to say a guy like a Jimmy Butler. You saw how valuable Jimmy Butler was for the Philadelphia 76ers in their playoff series against the Bucks. He was the guy they were going to close games. Could you imagine having a Donovan Mitchell and a Jimmy Butler next to each other? Let's not talk about the off-court issues, just on-court, playing off of each other and being able to take the winning shot on a night-in and night-out basis. One night it could be Donovan Mitchell, another night it could be Jimmy Butler. I will also go and say, whoever this guy is, I'll say with a Jimmy Butler, throw him a whole bunch of money now, a ton of money right now, because you're going to have to pay Jimmy here pretty soon, or you're going to have to pay Donovan here pretty soon, and I know you're going to have to pay Rudy here soon, too. Throw a bunch of money at Jimmy now, and maybe you can make that contract work out in the end. Probably not. But I'm just saying, whoever they do this, that's probably what they need to do. They need to find someone who's a bit taller, who can take that pressure off of him, and who can make mid-range shots late in the game. That's why I think the Jazz need to get a shooting guard coming up in free agency. Of course, the dream is Jimmy Butler. They'll probably settle for someone a lot less than that if they go for a shooting guard. All right, Jeremiah, rebut what I'm saying.
Okay,
right,
I'm going to rebut what you're saying right now. They already have a star shooting guard. His name is Donovan Mitchell. I don't think they need to bring in another alpha. I think what they need to do is bring in another Philadelphia 76er who's not a shooting guard but can still take some of that weight off of Donovan Mitchell's shoulders that you mentioned, and his name is Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris will be the perfect addition to the Utah Jazz in free agency. He can play the four. He can play the three. He can spread the floor. I like his versatility. I like the fact that he's 26 years old. I like the fact that he's still got a lot of areas to improve in his game. I don't like him defensively. I think that is the weakness in his game, but I think that could improve, especially if he came in and really invested himself in what the Jazz are and their culture and bought into what they're trying to do. I think there's a lot of untapped potential with Tobias Harris. I think that the Jazz have a track record of developing players and helping players get better, even players that are later in their career like a Joe Ingles, and they could do wonders with Tobias Harris, who I think has all-star potential. And I think that is your target. Jimmy Butler, I think, is too much of a duplication of Donovan Mitchell. I think Jimmy Butler doesn't fit the culture that the Jazz want. Jimmy Butler's not a bad guy. He's just a bad teammate. And he has a track record of that.
But wait, he got along with some pretty prickly guys in Philadelphia, though.
Did he get along with them? How long have we tested that? Have we tested that for longer than one season? I want to see that go on for 2 or 3 years. I felt like there was already some things going on in that Sixers locker room with some of the personalities they had. Ben Simmons and Embiid and Jimmy Butler, man, that is a combustible locker room. So I like your chasing a Sixer here, but I think you're chasing the wrong Sixer. And I think the Sixer I'm talking about, while he's not the shooting guard you're talking about, can provide the Jazz some things that they're lacking right now that can help take them to another level. And he also is a lot in that age group of Rudy and Donovan, where he's 26, 27 years old, where he can grow with those guys long term. If like you give him a 4-year contract, you're looking at 4 years where you have all these guys together. They could probably do something special and develop into something great.
Okay, little aside, we're going to approach the bench right now. No, I'm just kidding with you on that one. Okay, real quickly though, I what do you think the odds that the Jazz sign? I think it's pretty still much a long shot that the Jazz get Tobias Harris, because if he's not re-signed by the Sixers, I think there are plenty of other teams out there that could say, we'd like to have you too.
Oh,
you,
sure.
And we'd like for you to come play. I'd say it's below 20% that the Jazz probably signed Tobias. Yeah. And I have no intel. That's fair.
Let's say, for instance, there's five teams out there that are interested and have the money. Then you're right. There's probably like a 20% shot. And I think the Sixers have the 50%. Because I think that they made the move at the trade deadline, and they gave up the assets that they needed to bring him in then. But now they're the favorite because they can offer an extra year and they can offer more money. So if Tobias Harris is looking at the money and the Sixers offer it all to him, it's going to be very hard for him to turn that down. So the Sixers are absolutely the favorite to retain the services. But that's a pretty crowded locker room there. You saw it in the playoffs. While Tobias played a role on that team, he was shooting like 7 or 8 times a game. I think he wants more.
Yeah.
I think he wants a bigger role offensively than that. And again, I'm gonna go back. I don't have any like hard intel either, but just from the reports I read and things you saw in the playoffs, that chemistry with that Sixers team was odd. And I don't know if that was, you know, and Tobias didn't choose to go there. So now Tobias has a choice to go where he wants to. And there has been some mutual interest. Publicly, there has been reports that Tobias has interest in playing here and playing for Quinn Snyder. So that's something to keep in mind as well. While the money would be hard to turn down, I think the Jazz do have a legitimate chance if they're able to create enough space underneath the cap, and that would mean renouncing Derek Favors, which would be sad. That's a topic for another day.
Right, yeah.
But I think that's the move you make. Now, that's a free agency move. I mean, perhaps there's ways that they can get better in the trades. And you also, and I almost want to do a whole entire podcast on, maybe we can do this, the free agent forecast. There's some things I think that are going to happen, some dominoes that'll fall that'll help determine what the Jazz end up doing. But there's a possibility that there's going to be a restricted free agent in Brooklyen that becomes unrestricted, who happens to be very close to Donovan Mitchell, that could become available. But there's some dominoes that have to fall in order for that to happen. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things we don't know yet. There's going to be a lot of options for the Jazz, and it'll be interesting to see what option they end up coming up with.
Okay, Jeremiah, real quickly before we start talking about potential guys from the Brooklyn Nets who could be joining, I know it's out there, but who could be joining the Utah Jazz. If the Jazz do sign a guy like a Tobias Harris, who's their point guard? Is that where you default to Donovan Mitchell? Is that where you go out and see if you can find someone in the cheap? Is Howell Neto the guy? I don't think so. I think he's really a third stringer. What do they do with point guard, or do they just turn to Donovan and Royce O'Neal as the backcourts, or is their backcourt of the future, at least near future for next season?
Cleon, have you deserted Exum Island?
Have you
forgotten about Dante Exum? Their number five overall draft pick? Their lottery pick?
I get that. I, I,
He's still on the roster.
I know. And
they've invested highly in him, and they still love him. They say very nice things about him.
Yes, they do.
He's still really young.
They need to, because they need to keep his spirits up, because he's still a member of this team, and they'd like to see him contribute. The problem that I have with Dante Exum is, man, that is a backcourt that's not going to be able to shoot very efficiently. Mm-hmm. You've got a Dante Exum who can't shoot from the outside. Maybe magically that appears at some point, but in reality, his greatest strength is going to the rim, and his greatest strength is not really passing. I'm going to say that right out.
Really?
That's my opinion. I don't think his greatest strength is passing. I think he's gotten better at it. I really do. But I don't think that's his greatest strength. So, yes, I guess I'm, especially after another injury, yeah, I'm off Exum Island for right now. I want him to prove it to me that he's going to be a starter in this NBA. Now, if they were able to do that, and let's say Donovan and Dante were in the backcourt, and then you have Joe Ingles, and then you have a Tobias Harris, and then you have a Rudy Gobert, you got to potentially, except for Tobias, like you said, but four out of those guys could be really good team defenders, and that's a starting lineup you'd like to see at least defensively. We know that they could wreak some havoc, especially if you get Tobias Harris on the same page. But I'm just not quite there seeing Exum maybe even finish games. I think he has the potential for playmaking ability, at least for himself. I'm just not sure I see it there with, do you give it to Dante Exum like an Andre Iguodala the other night and say, make a three-pointer for me? Teams are going to make him prove it, and more often than not, he's not going to be able to prove it.
Well, you may be right. His shooting has improved. I don't cringe as much when he shoots a three as he did when he was a rookie. He's made improvement. You got to give him credit for that. I think that if the Jazz are able to get somebody like a Tobias Harris or somebody that's not in that position in the backcourt, then I think they do look at just giving Dante Exum more responsibility. I don't think they're going to be in a position where they have to, because they've signed him. They've got him in that salary slot, in that position. They've invested in him. It's time for that investment to pay off. And while the injury history gives you pause, he's still young. You've seen what he can do. He can create off the dribble. He's extremely long for the position. He's dynamic in a lot of things that he can do. If he can just simply stay healthy, he may be the solution at that position. Obviously, you're not going to depend on him or expect him to shoot 35% or above from the three-point line, but maybe he doesn't have to be in that position, because he can help you in the ISO game. He can help you in creating his own shot. He can help you in playmaking for others. He can help you in taking that that burden off of Donovan Mitchell to be a playmaker and a scorer. That's a lot to ask somebody to do. So I still believe in Dante, and I think if they have a situation where they can find that star player or near-star player to add to the roster, but he's not in the backcourt, that they would be fine saying, okay, Dante, we believe in you. We trust you. Here you go. It's your turn. I think they could do that.
It's a big ask.
Is it a risk? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, very much so.
But I think the Jazz are willing to roll the dice on that.
It's a big ask for a guy that just has not played a lot of minutes so far in his career because of injuries. And you start to wonder, I know each one of these injuries has been different, but you do start to wonder, will he be able to hold up? Are we going to see a lot of load management if Dante Exum is one of your starting guards? That's a potential there. I think the thing that scares me more than the injuries is just his, it's not his lack of playmaking ability, but his lack of making plays for other people at times. As I said, he's gotten better, and the other thing that scares me is just his lack of shooting. I still like him, and I hope he succeeds. That would be a huge risk, though, if the Jazz do that. Okay, let's get back to our original thing here. We're not going to argue this. Combo guard. Is that really where the Jazz should go here with free agency? Let's say they don't sign a Tobias Harris. They don't sign a Kemba Walker. They don't trade for someone they don't trade for a shooting guard or sign a shooting guard in the offseason. Is a combo guard the best measure? And let me give you the name that I think both of us are thinking of, and that's D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell has been, you know, Instagram, there's been Instagram contact. Well, I should say Instagram posts have been sent out with D'Angelo Russell and Donovan Mitchell hanging out with each other. D'Angelo Russell is a restricted free agent. Shams Charania, I think I say that name right. Mm-hmm. He has come out and said that the Jazz are one of the teams that are interested in him. Tony Jones from The Athletic, local here, says the Jazz are only interested in him if he is a unrestricted free agent, which
the
could
Jazz
happen.
Aren't going to lock up their money on a restricted free agent, they're not in a position to do that.
So you've got a guy like a D'Angelo Russell. The other guy that's on their team, who's a kind of a combo guard too, is a Spencer Dinwiddie, who could become expendable for different reasons through trade. Is that kind of what the Jazz need instead, so that you kind of have two combo guards who can create for themselves, create for other people, and be able to go out there and help each other out and, again, play off of each other, kind of like what I talked about potentially with the shooting guard?
I think that's a possibility. So the way I look at this is I'm not worried about the position. I'm looking at free agency in tiers. And I'm looking.
You're
the Jazz,
talking about like a tier level, not like you're crying. Correct?
No. Okay. T I E R, not T E A R. Although, if the Jazz don't hit it big here in this offseason and they come up bust, then there's going to be a lot of tears shed in Jazz Nation, which is, you know, unfortunately that is a possibility as well. We'll see, but I think the Jazz actually are in a great position to do something. It's just it doesn't always depend on them wanting to.
Exactly.
Anyway, the point I was about to make is this. Is while you kind of try to picture positions, obviously they're not going to go out and try to get a center because Rudy Gobert is a center, right? And Donovan Mitchell's your alpha. He's your star player. He's your shooting guard. He's the guy that's going to be taking a lot of the load offensively. That's what he's going to be. He's a dynamic scorer. But I don't want to look at this in a way, although we've had this exercise so far, you've got to look at this differently from positions. Is you got to look at this as you're trying to get the best player out there, right? And it's just like a draft philosophy, right? So if you're in a draft and some people say, well, it's need versus best available. And I think the Jazz have to have that best available approach to free agency and or trades, whatever. This offseason, they have to acquire the best available player. And so if you start saying, okay, we're going to start, okay, who's the number one free agent out there? Well, it's Kevin Durant, right? And you just kind of go down from there. You mentioned D'Angelo Russell, and this is kind of what I'm getting at, is D'Angelo Russell does play the shooting guard position, combo position. He can play point guard as well. So in a lot of ways, he's similar to Donovan Mitchell. So a backcourt of D'Angelo Russell and Donovan Mitchell would work great, in my opinion, to answer your question and where you're going. But I think you look at D'Angelo Russell not simply because of the position he plays. You look at D'Angelo Russell because he would possibly be the best player available to you. And we have to wait and see on that. Like I mentioned, the dominoes that can fall in this offseason, I think it's going to start on draft night because I think Anthony Davis is going to be traded on draft night. That's going to start a lot of dominoes. I think Kyrie Irving's out in Boston, so where's Kyrie Irving going to go? If Kyrie Irving's going to the Brooklyn Nets, then all of a sudden, D'Angelo Russell's expendable, and they can't afford D'Angelo Russell at the amount of money that he's gonna take in free agency. And all of a sudden, you realize that he's available. Perhaps they have to renounce D'Angelo Russell, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Then all of a sudden, things change dramatically for you. All of a sudden, D'Angelo Russell's a very attractive player out there. And an unrestricted free agent that you can just go offer and negotiate with instead of having to worry about the Nets matching. D'Angelo Russell's an all-star.
And Eastern Conference all-star.
Still an all-star. And he's 23 years old. Think about that. And he's the exact same age as Donovan. So if you're able to pair basically two all-star guards together that have a chemistry already off the court, that's just like seems like too good to be true, right? And then you're able to build from there. So D'Angelo Russell, I think, would be a terrific addition. If all these dominoes fall the way they may fall, then that could happen. And I think there would be mutual interest. Obviously, the Jazz would be interested in D'Angelo Russell, and you're seeing the reports now. Okay? That's a no-brainer. They'd be interested in him. Don't expect them to offer him in restricted free agency. I don't think the Jazz will do that. The Jazz don't want to tie up their money on one player. I think they're going to look at a lot of different options. But if he becomes an unrestricted free agent, then they could go pretty hard at him. And I think they would have a great chance of luring him here.
I will start out with, here's what I don't like about D'Angelo Russell. Okay. I will be negative Nelly right now. Just the things that have happened off the court, I don't like that. I don't like that he was recently, and we talked about this in a recent Jazz Notes podcast, I don't like that he was arrested recently for marijuana possession. It was, to me, that's not a big deal. But again, meaning, when I say it's not a big deal, yeah, so he got this. Marijuana is legal in a lot of states. What I'm saying is, it was such a stupid thing to do. And then the stuff he did when he was with the Lakers, when he filmed Swaggy P talking about different things, and that made him a quote-unquote bad teammate. There just doesn't seem to be something there that fits with the Jazz. I'll come back to that here in a second, though.
Okay.
Here's the other thing I don't like. I don't like that he's an inefficient player. If you look at his stats, field goal percentage-wise this past season, he only shot 43% total. He is not a very efficient player. So if you put Donovan Mitchell, who has not been a very efficient player in his first two seasons, and you put D'Angelo Russell next to him, and he's not a very efficient player, you've got two guys that can playmake for themselves, and they're going to have some good nights, but they're going to have some stinkers. And on those nights that they're both having a stinker of a game, that's not going to bode well for the Jazz. Now, real quickly, I'll go back to what I like about it. I like that he could come in. I like his age, and you mentioned that. I like the fact that he's friends with Donovan Mitchell. I think Mitchell could convince him, this is a good situation, not only for you, for me. We can play off of each other. Granted, not always do best friends always, or you know, good friends always turn out to be good teammates. Sometimes you have LeBron and Dwayne Wade, but that even was a little bit rocky at times when they were with the Heat. Sometimes that doesn't always work out. But I think that could be a good thing that Donovan could convince him to. Look what the Jazz have done for me. I know they can do good stuff for you. And your backcourt is only, what, 22 and 23 or somewhere right around there going into next season. And the other thing that we kind of talked about, he can play make. He may not be efficient, and he may not be the quickest guy, but he does stuff with the ball that no one else on the Jazz right now that you could say could do. And when he's hot, he's hot. So what, I'm going to borrow something from, I think it's the movie Argo. This might be the best bad option that the Jazz have available.
That's not a bad option.
No, and that's not bad. I'm still not convinced completely. I guess I want to see the Jazz take that next leap, but I'm not sure that's going to come next year. So if you can develop someone into being that guy, that's actually not bad either. So that's why I don't think it's a bad thing for a D'Angelo Russell maybe to come to the Utah Jazz.
So I'll respond to what you just said. The off-court stuff with D'Angelo doesn't bother me at all. The thing with the Lakers was weird.
Plus, he was a rookie.
We're talking about Swaggy P and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That locker room was a mess, and that was a bad place for a rookie to be.
And he was 19. I'll say that for him.
Yeah.
I did stupid stuff when I was 19,
yeah,
too. Okay? Now, it wasn't out on Instagram because I'm really old, and there was no such thing as Instagram when
but
I was 19.
But if there was.
I've done some really dumb things, too. So I think you can get past that. Go ahead.
The marijuana thing, I don't care about. I mean, 3/4 of the league uses marijuana. It's no secret.
I just think you're stupid.
He just did a stupid thing getting caught.
Yes, exactly.
And that was strange, but so I'll give you that. But it's not a concern either. So my concerns with him on the court would be his struggle to finish at the rim and his inefficiencies that you mentioned. That's absolutely fair. Now, I'll counterpoint that with this, and the same thing with Donovan. It's funny, they were both seem to be in similar situations where young guys asked to carry the load offensively for a team and be the man. You're going to be the focus of the other team's defense. You don't have anybody to help you, so it's going to create situations where you are inefficient because so much attention is placed on you defensively. I think the same thing happened to D'Angelo, it happened to Donovan. If you pair them together, all of a sudden that team's defense can't focus on one or the other. All of a sudden, these guys become a nightmare. They become much more efficient players because things open up for them because they have each other to play off of. So I think that they would be great together. I think they're both playmakers. I think they can both create off the dribble, and they could do a lot of good things offensively for the Jazz. And like I said, they would be able to kind of grow up together. And being at the same age, I think, is key. And you're getting somebody young that you can keep for a long, long time and kind of build that way instead of the 32-year-old route, which we're talking about in trades, which I'm not opposed to, but I think long-term you could be better off just getting that young guy now and allowing it to grow. It might require a little bit more patience, but could pay off bigger on the other end than the short-term fix with a 30-plus vet.
Hey, right before we get out of here, Jeremiah, I threw this out in one of the last podcasts, and I talked about Rodney Hood. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this season. Now, he's a shooting guard. He comes with some baggage. But the one thing you do know about him is that you know what you're getting. You know what kind of a player he is. Even the Jazz kind of know what player he is. And, yes, they traded him away for this reason or that reason. Would you take, if you were in Dennis Lindsay's position or Justin Zanuck's position, would you take a look at Rodney Hood? Personally, I would say yes. I want to hear your opinion on this.
No, I've already looked at him. That ship has sailed. I like the skills that you're talking about. I guess you would take a look at, but Rodney was already here. They traded him for a reason, and I think that ship has sailed both ways. I don't know that Rodney would want to come back, and I think that the way things ended there, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Do you want a player like that? You want somebody that can knock down shots, which Rodney can do. He's an inefficient – I mean, he's been up and down, not a consistent player, but you don't expect him. He's not a star. But do I guess the question would be, do you think the Jazz would look for to maybe bring him back? I don't think so.
I guess I disagree with you on that.
Based on the things I know, I cannot see that marriage happening.
I guess I see this, that maybe he comes in, but it would depend on him wanting to come in, I guess you could say, humble, contrite, knowing what his place here with the Utah Jazz is, and that he would trust them because he already knows what's going on here, and that would, in turn, you know, they would know what they're getting, so... I don't know. Maybe not. Coming up a little bit later this week on the Jazz Notes podcast, you're going to hear from Kendra Andrews. It's a draft edition where we talk about the two Gonzaga guys. She covered Gonzaga for The Athletic this past season. Oh, by the way, one more quick question for you, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Did the Jazz keep their number one pick on draft night? I'm going to hold this. Right now, I know it's kind of tough because we're still, 15 days out of the draft? We're still 15 days out. Did the Jazz keep it? I waver back and forth whether they're going to keep it or not. I don't know right now. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if they're going to keep that
it
or not.
It depends on who's available before they pick, but it would not surprise me if they have options out there and they make a draft night trade that pick is involved in that draft night trade.
Yeah.
I would put it at 50-50 right now. I think that roster spot is extremely valuable, where they'd rather have a veteran player who can knock down threes in that position than a rookie that's not going to make the rotation. They're already stocked it with young players, Grayson Allen being one of them. And I think that first-round pick could be valuable in a trade that they might try to pull off on draft night. So I would not be shocked at all if that pick gets moved.
Yeah, I'm just like 50-50. I keep thinking maybe they can find someone, but you know, when you're drafting that low in the draft, you're really just hoping for a guy that actually, number one, makes the roster. Of course, he's going to get guaranteed money, so he's probably making the roster, but that he can actually crack the rotation. Grayson Allen was 21 last year, and he didn't really crack the rotation.
No, he didn't.
Until late in the season.
And, he didn't, not even then. I mean,
and
there
that's
was
not a, even really that.
I mean, there were spots in the year where, especially because of injuries, that he made the rotation, but I would not call him a rotation player as a rookie last year, so... By drafting another guy in that position, what are the odds of them cracking the rotation with all the guys they have coming back?
Not good.
No, it isn't. So
if they're going to get someone that makes a difference, they need to probably, and I don't know if they're going to do this, they'd have to probably trade up, get at least into the teens, maybe lower end of the lottery, and I'm not even sure
this is not the draft to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do that.
I think it would be in their best interest to move the pick.
No,
unless there's somebody out there that they think is going to be there that they really like.
So anyway, a draft edition on the next Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk about some of the Gonzaga guys because they could end up here in Salt Lake City. Brandon Clark, Rui Hachimura.
Brandon Clark would be a very nice addition.
Okay. I'm not sure I agree with that. But
really?
Yeah, I think he's a good hustle guy, but that's what you're getting. You're just getting a hustle guy. And ooh. I think the Jazz need a little bit more than a hustle guy. But on the other hand, again, if we're going to go with draft the best player available,
yes,
then that's it might be Brandon Clark, but a lot of mock drafts have him going earlier.
Yeah.
But I did this interview quite a while ago when I saw a couple of mock drafts showing that he might end up with the Utah Jazz. So
I'll be interested to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, all right. That's going to come up on the next Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks to Jeremiah. My name's Cleon Wall. Thanks for downloading, subscribing. You can find us on KSLSports.com. KSL News Radio's app, or on Apple Podcasts, wherever fine podcasts are found. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.